This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey.
Hey.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Before we get into episode 9 of Dear Mama, we got to give a special shout out to my little brother, Keon.
Yeah.
Celebrated his 19th birthday yesterday.
Yesterday. Now, in 1999, he was actually born on Mother's Day. Because back then, that day, it was that Sunday. So, yeah.
And Keon is very special to us because he actually allowed me to propose to Randy on his birthday.
Yeah.
Good times.
It was really sweet.
And before we get into this episode, we're going to do a quick, just to highlight some activity that we received.
Yeah.
Some people have been commenting and sharing and we really appreciate it. Please continue to do so as we move forward. But this comment comes from someone we went to high school with. Yeah. Well, Randy went to high school with. Yeah. We all worked together in high school. It's from Cerise. Her comment on episode 6. She says, LMAO at Paul's love story on episode 6. I believe that was my hood love story.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. I'm screaming at your responses. Randy, cusp of 18. She was young. I love the introduction on this episode with the young lady's comments about relationships. I can relate. I love listening to you guys. It's a good blueprint for developing a good relationship. Super helpful and insightful on maintaining good / healthy relationships. But I too feel like the ship has sailed.
No.
The guy needs hustle, in quotes, is hilarious and so true. I was working 50 to 11 jobs in Ohio. The whole conversation about the truck had me fucking weak. I feel you. I'm still weak when we talk about the truck. Yes, ma'am. Got you. So my messy relationship fighting story. I'm sure y'all know I'm a sucker for a Jamaican man. I know. My ex and I got into it. Because I discovered he was cheating. Damn. I raised my hand at him. He's like 6'4". He literally looked at me like, what are you finna do? It was such a heated argument, but I felt so small and embarrassed for being that girl. I was mad at that. I was mad as fuck that he tried my gangster.
Oh, really? No.
I'm not as short as Randy. Ooh, shit.
Oh, man.
But just because you tall, don't play with me. It wasn't funny at the time, but playing it back in my head, I really was like, girl, what you finna do? Thankfully, I exited that relationship and never had to lay hands on anyone, and no one laid hands on me. Good shit.
Yeah.
Y'all conversations about boundary setting and non-negotiables will be utilized in any future relationship to avoid me acting Guyanese, grabbing a cutlass, and chopping them rice. I feel you, Cece.
Thanks, yeah. Cece.
Thank you.
It was really nice to see, and I was howling.
All right, we're going to get into a really nice conversation about two of our favorite women on this planet. And let's just get into it.
We hope you enjoy.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm so with my seeds, like. Now check it out.
Welcome back.
Hey.
This is episode 9 of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. I'm Mikey.
I'm Randy.
And today we're going to talk about two of our favorite women on this planet, our mamas.
Our mamas.
We'll share some history behind what made these women great and some stories about our growth as a couple and how our relationship with them affected us. We'll detail their involvement and dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly of having mothers who care.
Yeah, this episode will actually probably be more entertaining and insightful than y'all think.
Or than we thought.
Right.
But before we get into that, we obviously have to start off with our love story this week, which will be brought to you by my lovely wife, favorite wife.
Favorite.
Yeah, I haven't had any others yet. So, like,
okay. Thanks, babe. All right. So this love story is about MJ. It's a different love story. It's like a love story.
Different, like,
a love story. It's not sad.
Okay.
But I think it fits with like the theme of mothers and relationship today.
All right.
So this is about MJ Seed. I really don't know if I'm saying her name right. And Jenna Appermeans. So Jenna Appermeans is actually her granddaughter. Her step granddaughter. I don't know how that works. So MJ Seed is gay. And Jenna's grandmother is gay. And MJ met Jenna through her grandmother.
Okay.
Through her partner.
Gotcha.
So Jenna is actually the other partner's granddaughter. Am I making sense?
Yes, I'm following so far.
Okay, so the interview is between these two. And it was just really sweet. I found it on StoryCorps. And I was trying to branch out, y'all, trying to find other love stories from around the world that don't involve StoryCorps or Humans of New York. But I was not prepared. Okay. And I remember seeing this love story, like, in the beginning when we first started to do this podcast. And I thought it'd be nice. And we haven't done a lesbian or gay couple or a couple that's not, like, heteronormatively heterosexual.
You doing all types of air quotes.
I'm just saying.
Or, that's right. Yeah, we're gonna start diversifying.
Yeah, because that's what we want to do. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
I know what you want to do, but that's what I want to do.
I want to share hood love stories.
So MJ met her partner in 1990, but before they met, she thought that her life wasn't worth living because she thought she'd never be able to, like, walk along the beach and hold her partner's hand because she was gay. But that all changed when she met Jenna's grandmother. And her grandmother was actually previously married to a man and had already had children. And, like, after they divorced and all of that, she came out and told Jenna's mother, you know, I'm gay. This is who I am. This is who I love. And that's that. And so her family took it really well. And that's how MJ met Jenna. And so they are actually very close. And it was very evident in the interview that they loved each other and that both of them have been blessed by having each other in their lives. And so MJ had asked Jenna if she was embarrassed to have a gay grandmother. And she was like, no, you know, because my relationship with you is all that matters. Now, I didn't say Jenna is 12. So it was really sweet. She's a child. And at one point, MJ affirms her and is like, you know, since I met you, you've always just been very firm in who you are. You aren't swayed by societal pressures or discrimination and, or hate. And you just, you know, you stand true to who you are and you love who you love. You know, even if that includes your two gay grandmothers. And at this point, Jenna got very emotional and started to cry, and said that, you know, she loved her and she just didn't know who she would be. Like, where she would be if she didn't have her as a grandmother, and how she's really fun, and they go on roller coaster rides together, and she started naming off all these things that kids love to do that they're surprised that adults also would love to do with them. And it was nice. And that is my love story.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different.
It just made me feel good. And just to highlight that I think that the type of love stories that are advertised on TV and stuff is, especially if it's a lesbian or gay couple, or any other couple that's not heterosexual, it's always, you know, you find, you know, it's like the fling, you find them young, but this is an older woman, who found love later in life and with a partner who had been married and who had done these very normalized traditional roles and was still able to find love. So. And also, find love with the child.
Yeah.
As a granddaughter. So, yeah.
Yeah, nah, that was a good story.
Thanks.
That relationship between, grandmother and grandchild is a close one, too.
It is. It really is.
You're sappy like that.
I am.
I am, too. Love you, Granny. I wonder if she listens to this.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Hopefully she don't.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't. God.
All right. That was a great story.
Thanks.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
And we're going to get into our main topic now. Mama.
Our mothers.
Mama. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, mama. So before we start, let's describe our mothers.
Okay.
You want to go first?
Yeah. So my mom is very short. she's 5'2"-ish, 3", and she's actually the youngest of 4 sisters. She had us really young, as I said, stated in episode 1. She had my sister and I 15 and 16 and my brother at 22. By that point, she was married to my dad. We all are from the same dad. But she had us really young, but like I said, she's always been real big on communication. She's always been very transparent with us. And while now we have more of like a friend-like relationship because I am grown, mm-hmm. we were younger. I don't think that was the case, but I did feel respected. I did feel like she loved us and she was determined to not do any, like to not perpetuate any, or not perpetuate. She was determined to not have cycles within her children. And so, you know, we are all first generation college students and we, you know, she pushed us to be, you know, academically, I don't know. She pushed us to be educated. We weren't allowed to do anything after school unless it was school related. Like
so she raised y'all nerdy.
Yes. Okay. And I could only stay up if I was in bed reading. Like okay. It was stuff like that. And she is currently in school getting her bachelor's degree because Woo! She's great. And she's also working full time. And she's just a good person. And as y'all have heard through all these episodes and up to this point, she is very... She has a very firm stance in our relationship yes. because of who she is that we'll get into more in the episode. But yeah.
Okay. All right. My mother is a nurse, mm-hmm. one of the greatest nurses you'll ever meet on this planet. She actually fixed me up after my own accident in a hospital where she didn't even work.
That was episode 2.
Yes. Go back and listen. My mother is an immigrant. She moved here from Guyana, South America. I am one of my mother's 4. Mm-hmm. I have 3 other sisters. My mother decided to have a baby every 5 years.
Yeah, y'all.
Then she skipped 20.
to have Malaya.
And have another baby. My mother has always been very present and always taking really great care of me. All of her kids have had some type of sickness.
Yeah.
Whether it's my sister's iron deficiency or my asthma and things like that. My mother has always taken really great care of us. She was a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
She did school. She went through school when she moved to the States and, she moved down here to Atlanta. Ooh, what else? My mother's also tiny.
Yeah.
Like this little feeble little
She's
thing.
She's like 90.
But like, so.
Who's she gonna catch you? 120? Yeah.
My mother is a really beautiful, old, young looking lady.
Yeah.
Love her to death. Ooh, what else? What else she cover? She also treated us.
And she got her bachelor's.
Similarly equal. I'm my mother's only son,
mm-hmm.
so she loved me a little different.
Yeah.
She definitely tried to keep me close. She had all those worries that any mother of a black man in this country has, still carries those with her to this day, which makes me sad. But I'm out here, I'm alive, Ma, and I'm gonna keep trying to do right because you raised me well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was sweet, baby.
I know, right?
All right. meeting our parents, what we assumed, our initial thoughts after time passed.
Ooh, I'm gonna go first.
Okay.
All right. Cause this is still funny when I talk about it, when I think about it. Cause the level of ignorance that I displayed was kind of funny.
Okay.
I had met Randy's dad a couple of times and her grandfather when we were younger, when he would drop her off at school. I hadn't met Randy's mom for a minute. I had already met a whole bunch of family members. Randy, as y'all may know, is a dark skin. It's a really beautiful chocolate skin, like has this like deep tone. And her dad is also dark skin. So, you know, I assumed when I met her mom that her mom would be dark skin.
You're an idiot.
I am. But I have to share this because maybe this will help someone
else.
He was
also like 16.
I was a kid. I always thought that dark and dark make dark. I was never good at biology, by the way. I failed biology in high school like twice. It's not my favorite subject. I'm smart in other things, all right? Randy's mom comes to pick her up from school. She pulls up in Altamont and she was like, hey, how you doing? And I'm confused.
It wasn't the Altamont first, I think.
It was. No, it was. It wasn't accurate. It was Altamont.
Okay, you're right.
And I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? Lady, nice to meet you. And this short, light-skinned lady. Don't look nothing like Randy, like, at first look. And I was like, oh my God. No one has told Randy that she's adopted.
You're so stupid. And I didn't know that he was thinking this. I'm like, because Mikey's mom is dark-skinned, but he has two light-skinned sisters.
And their dads are light-skinned.
Mike.
This was my ignorant child thinking. So I just didn't think that she looked like her. It didn't take but like a couple of months to pass before I realized that y'all act and look just alike. Like, it was crazy. I clearly wasn't looking long enough or deep enough, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So my first impression of your mother was like, oh, this lady seems really nice. But she'd been lying to her daughter her whole life.
You're so stupid. And so that was your initial thought?
My initial thought. I thought she was pretty. I was like, oh, your mom's hot.
Yeah, everybody did.
That's what you're going to look like when you get older. All right.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Shit.
Well, my initial thoughts about your mom were, my initial thoughts was she's really tiny. Mm-hmm. You know, she's giving birth to this very tall, big guy.
That's true.
And I thought that she was nice, but I also thought that she was reserved. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't ever come across a mother that didn't necessarily take to me.
And I was the opposite. Mothers love me.
Yeah.
All moms love me. That's,
yeah.
And so, like, me and your mother hit it off.
Right. Like, yeah. I was so weird that she was, like, not really not. she wasn't mean or, you know, malicious or anything. She was just, what's the word I'm looking for? Distant.
She didn't care?
Yeah. She was distant. And I was like, oh. Okay, and in the beginning, it was easy to brush off because it was new,
mm-hmm.
but we'll get to that. All right.
Yeah, so, all right, so time has passed.
Yes.
And me and your mother are very, very close.
Yeah.
Your mother is different from my mom. My mom, growing up, like, she showed love. My mother was never short on, like, telling us that she loved us or she cared or showing us, showing us affection in any kind of way. It was just different growing up because my mother is from, like I said, she's from Guyana, and West Indian people, we just kind of raised a little differently. Your mom was kind 24/7 all the time, every time I saw her, and it was weird. It was a very strange adjustment, but I like loved it. And I loved being around y'all. She was just always nice. She was always like happy to see me, always hugging me, asking me how I'm doing and like checking in on my life outside of you. She would always say that. If you and Randy broke up, you know, Randy would just have to deal with the fact that we still gonna be cool.
Yeah, they have a separate, very special relationship. Like, that was very evident early on. Was that like any relationship you had with other people's moms?
Yeah. It wasn't the same. Like, their mothers were always nice to me. They always, you know, treated me like they actually liked me. Outside of liking me for their daughter, they just liked me in general. But this one was different. She, like, really liked me. And like, we were like really close. She treated me like her own child.
Yeah.
Off rip. It was good.
Yeah. And.
And we just got really close. We bonded over you. That's how it like started. She liked the way I treated you. She liked the way I talked about you. I feel like early on, I answered questions right every time. Like immediately. Like there was no thought behind any of my like responses and things. Like it was just instinctual. Like she asked me how I felt about you, I'd outright say it and it would be the right thing. She forced you to date me.
Yeah.
When you had a boyfriend.
Heard that in the episode one, she asked Mikey to take you on my first date once I turned 15 and a half.
And we were friends at that point.
Yeah. And I was mortified. But Mikey did it, but by that point we were together.
Yeah.
And we all went.
She went on dates with us.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't weird to me. I mean, she was in the area, but she wasn't like sitting at the table asking me date questions. You know, she was just around. She was always around.
Yeah.
And we just got really close over the years, you know. I call your mom like I call my mom. You know, we talk. I go visit her like I visit my mom. And this Mother's Day, we gonna dip out of here and go see them, you know, today and go spend some time. But it was a really, really good relationship, you know, because your mom had time.
Yeah, she did.
She really did. She had time.
And that was not the case in the way, like, my mom presented it with our relationship with Mikey's mom. Mikey's mom wasn't, she wasn't involved. She wasn't. She
in the early stages? Nah.
Yeah, no, she wasn't. She'd allow me to come over the house and, you know, we sit on the sofa with her and hang throughout the day because in high school I dueled and rode to Georgia State. So I was always out of school a little earlier once I became a junior.
Yeah.
And she'd let me like eat food in her house if I gave her 10 cents. But, but she wasn't like, she wasn't going on dates with us. She wasn't with us. And, which I understood because she's a nurse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom like, played like right. the watcher role. She was like, yeah. if you are going to do something. My mom was always that mom that, like, I'm not going to really let my kids go to other people's houses, but y'all can all come to my house. Yeah, like type of stuff.
Just and before so I we know dated, that close. Before we went on our first date, Mikey's mom and my mom spoke on the phone and apparently had a really good conversation. And so, which like made them comfortable with us dating. But others outside of that, there was no involvement in the way that my mom was involved.
And a large part of that just comes from my mother's views on like relationships. How she raised, I can't speak to all my siblings because me and my mother's conversation, I believe, may have just been a little bit different. But my mother always, not different. My mother always said, you know, education is the most important thing. Get your education. Girls will always be around. Get your money. Set yourself up to be in a good position. That's where your focus needs to be.
Yeah.
You're messing around with these girls. Stop. Like, that was my mom. She would always preach that. But this relationship was different. I knew this relationship was different. From jump, I just treated you differently. I actually cared. It was just weird.
He kind of treated me differently.
I did definitely treated you differently. And I think that as of this point, people who have been listening can attest to the fact that.
I was still in some ways that girl, but you were nice.
Okay.
And you were in love.
I love you.
You were. I love you. You were. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to diminish all that we had. Uh-huh. I'm just saying.
Yes.
That I love you, girl.
I love you too. It's okay. Not going to make threatening eyes at my wife on Mother's Day. My mother's views on relationships were that, you know, they're cool, but they're not to be taken that seriously when you like got a life to work on. You got to focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's just how I was raised. You got to take care of yourself. You need to be in a good position before you can start talking about boyfriend, this girlfriend, that.
Yeah. And she also had problems with how smart I was.
There was like this competitive nature about my mother. My mother knows I'm smart. Everyone knows I'm smart. Yeah. I have been told my whole time, you're so intelligent. It's true. I am. And I never felt dumb in your presence. You know,
yeah.
That's not the relationship that we had. The thing is though, Randy is really smart as well. I got a really smart girl. I'm attracted to smart women. That's like my thing.
You have a preference. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. Randy is so book smart. That's ridiculous. Randy knows a lot of stuff I don't know. Just like I know a lot of stuff Randy don't know.
This is true.
And there's like balance there, but I don't know. My mom kind of saw it different. Like this girl is like really smart.
It was like a lot. And so it made her cold to me, in my opinion.
In her opinion.
And I was like, this is so backwards to me. I've never met a mother who didn't like that the girl was smart. I was so confused.
Why?
Because I would come over to Mikey's house and I'd read, you know. Mm-hmm. Your mom was just so opposite of what I thought.
Just because of what you were raised to.
I was like, oh, she's tough. She's also a Virgo.
She's also West Indian.
And she's West Indian. But yeah, but I noticed there was like a slight shift in your mom. I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for? Like vibe towards me with your accident. Everybody was really surprised that everybody except my family was really surprised that I stayed with you that summer. Like I do not to this day understand how you could be with somebody for years and not take care of them.
You'd be surprised
when they have a really bad accident. And I've known you, it feels like, all my life. And it just didn't make sense. If people thought I was leaving a hospital, it was going to be something.
I get it.
But
from the outside looking in, I don't think people really knew how close we were growing up. Like, they can look back now and be like, oh yeah, that did happen. Or y'all were like that. But like, we were extremely close. But yeah. My relationship with you was seen one way by your family. Yeah. And my relationship with you was seen another way by my family. Like, my siblings and everything loved you. Yeah. They knew how close you were and things like that. But again, my mother, you know, just looked at it differently.
And y'all, that was tough. We don't really, we haven't really gotten into that, but Mikey's mom caused a lot of arguments with us when we were younger, like on up until I was 22, 23.
Randy would say things like, you know, your mom treats me a certain way and she likes
Not even treat me. It wasn't that. I was more like, your mom is still this, like, I felt like I had proven myself. I'm a consistent person.
Yeah.
And I know that with certain people, and when it comes to trauma and how they feel about people, you have to be consistent. Like, you have to make a choice to, like, be yourself and be who you are, despite if they believe it or not.
Yeah.
And then eventually maybe they'll come around. But at this point, it had been years, and every little thing I did was... Everything I did. If I walked in the house, she has this rule about washing your hands.
Hey, you gotta wash your hands. You take off your shoes.
If I walk in the house and go straight to the bathroom and wash my hands, she's pissed because I didn't stop to say hello. If I say hello, she's pissed that I didn't keep walking to go wash my hands. I could not, like, there was nothing, there was nothing I could do. Yeah. There was nothing I could do. And, it was really tough because I would go to Mikey and I'd be like, then at one point she thought I was like arrogant, or at least
that's what she said.
But when we talked about that, and she said she does not remember.
Of course.
We've since healed
from these things. Like, no, this is like past stuff. But during that same time, Randy would come to me and she'd express these things, and I'd brush it
Mikey
off
would
as
brush
like
me off.
Like, yeah, that's
and I was
that's
so
Maryland.
Pissed,
it's all right.
Like, I'm like, make me feel better.
The
and
problem
he
here was is
and
that
he wouldn't.
My mom. Again, I'm her only son. My mom is protective of her only son. Like, mothers and son relationships is a little different than what you are used to seeing when you grew, when you're
my
growing up.
My mom has a son.
Exactly. But how your mother treats her son isn't, to me, a lot of how your family moved wasn't normal. Like, y'all a little too close. Y'all communicate a little too well. It just didn't seem real. It really didn't for like maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for like the other shoe to drop. Like when y'all gonna like, cut somebody. Like, y'all work together a little too well. Y'all a little too close knit. But that's actually just how y'all were. Y'all just, that's how y'all showed love. We are a little bit more abrasive.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, well, yeah, she treats everybody like
that's
that.
How she treats her kids.
And I'm just like, I don't fucking,
if she didn't
my
like
mom
you,
doesn't treat
so
you
different.
Like that.
Nah.
And I was jealous of that because not because I have a really great relationship with my mom, and what Mikey and her have is really special. And I think what me and Mikey's mom have now is special. But back in the day, I thought that they were the only ones that had a special relationship. And I was jealous of that because I wanted to be close.
Yeah.
I wanted to be close to the woman Mikey loved more than me, which is his mother.
All day.
And in the way that my mom and him were close, and I didn't understand why I couldn't have that when I'm a good fucking person,
cool.
You know?
Right. I'm saying that's what love from my mother looks like. Being charged for your food. Getting yelled at for not doing the order correctly. Yeah, nah, no matter what it was,
it's an impossible thing.
The only way it could work out is if you literally walked into the house, threw off your shoes, simultaneously running to the bathroom, screaming hello to everybody.
No, because at one point, that don't work either. It's the point I'm going to make. I'm going to stop talking. But yeah, so it was, but she did change, not change. She did express some vulnerability with me after your accident.
So we are now adults. Our relationship is looked at differently. We are engaged. It's very evident that you're not going anywhere.
Wait, for your accident?
No, like after the accident.
Oh, okay. But I didn't finish saying that. Okay. She expressed some vulnerability. At one point, my email was sending out spam, like my Yahoo that I ain't signed into for a while. Mm-hmm. And it sent her like a, hey, how are you doing? But it wasn't me. But she responded.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, your mom does that. She responds to emails like
she
that.
She will.
And she was like, you know, thank you so much for being with my son. And I was like, oh, you're welcome. You know, it's just really nice. And that's the nicest thing she has said to me. In like 5 years. I'm sorry.
And then on the flip side, my mother, said nice things about you behind your back. That's kind of like how it works. Like, oh. You know, some stuff you're just not going to hear out loud. I'm pretty sure my mother has said plenty of nice things about me to other people that I ain't hear until I finally heard it. But my mother loved you. She always thought you was pretty. She really liked your skin. My mother always thought, like, she's a really nice girl. All the things that I'm sure you would have loved to hear at the time.
That I never did.
Nah, you weren't there.
But there were some epiphanies. Or wait, was there anything else you want to say on that?
It was, and there was a lot of the reason why there was friction between us and a lot of arguments was because you were expecting a relationship with my mother that I ain't even have with my mother.
Like, yeah.
You wanted this closeness and this openness and this communication and everything that, like, I have with your mom. Me and your mom had everything except a secret fucking handshake. Like, that's all we was missing. But it wasn't possible because, I mean, you couldn't expect to have something that her, you know, her own children didn't have.
This is true.
You know, like, while she loved us and we were close, it was just different.
Yeah.
It was just different.
And it took me a while, and we'll get into that, but it took me a minute to, like, see that, like, this is not going to be the way that you thought. And back to, episode 7, when I talk about do's and don'ts. Wait, was that the marriage one?
I don't remember. We have so many episodes.
Episode 6, I think, when I say in relationships don't, like, take out should or expect, I should have done that early on. But I was also a child.
Yeah.
You know, I was way younger. I was hormonal.
We ain't know nothing.
Like, yeah, I didn't know shit. And so that's what I acted like. But yeah, I was jealous of their relationship, and it made it really difficult to, I don't know, to deal with. And then at one point, like we stated, when we got engaged, we were living with our mothers. And so I spent a lot of time actually at Mikey's house or Mikey's mom's house, because at that point, Malaya was the only sibling living there.
Yeah.
And she still is, because she's 7, about to be. And
you remember when we babysat? Quick interjection.
Yeah.
We babysit this child. How old was she at this moment? Like
1.
Yeah.
And we weren't living there at that time. We were like, I think I still at my mom's house.
Yes, but you still at your mom's house.
First time spending a night at your mom's house with her knowledge. I don't think I ever spent the night in there. I don't think so. You are not.
Wait, okay, nah,
no,
you're good.
I think, right?
Wait, I wasn't. Did I just shush over the mic to get you quiet?
Yes, I don't think I said anything that was.
Nah.
I think as an adult or like out of college, my first time staying at your mom's house.
Yes, just for clarity, mine. No, she didn't spend the night without your knowledge before.
I couldn't have. I was in high school.
Yeah, Randy didn't spend the night. without you knowing.
You are evil.
I need to clarify. I never lied to my mama. I love you.
Never.
Mama. Never. I might tell her the truth later, but
that's a live omission.
It's not the same. Anyway.
Okay, anyway. So his sister, we had to babysit, and she put us through it. Do y'all hear me? She was one
it
at the
was
time.
So funny. Malaya was a very well-behaved child, like in the daytime. Like, she really didn't cry that much. She was very, I remember when you first met her, when she was born, you were like, she's so pretty, but she's so boring.
Yeah. I didn't like, realize all infants are. She just slept.
That's
she was
it.
So chunky. And it was so cute.
And that's all a lot of people have ever known. So, like, the next day when mom come home and we telling her, like, how we ain't sleep because Malaya cried the whole night.
No, she didn't even cry the whole night. Your sister literally was nocturnal. She didn't sleep. She didn't sleep. And I finally got her in her crib. And as soon as she sees Mikey extends his hands. And all she wants is to be picked up. And I was like,
that.
You nigga.
I'm
like, I finally got her in her bed. It was horrible.
It wasn't that bad.
It was bad.
It was terrible. All right. So.
Anyway, but yeah. So I stayed over there a lot, but but we were planning to move, and at one point so my mom, and this goes into epiphany, so I'm gonna transition it.
Okay, good transition.
My mom and one of the problems that I had was, that was my fault. My bad was I kept thinking of your mom as my mom.
Yeah.
Because you and my mom are like that. But your mom is not my mom. You know, they're two different women. And, you know, thank God. They're, you know, their own person. They got their own stuff. And at one point, see, with my mom, when we have good news to say or tell, if I walk in the house and she's on the phone, or I'm on the phone, really quick, we'll tell each other what that news is. and then we move on. And then when the other person is free, we'll have a conversation about it. And that day we had found out that we could move in a few days earlier than we thought. Yeah. We were really excited because we were tired of living in our parents' houses. And I was on the phone and she had walked in and I was like, oh, hey, we get to move in like so-and-so date. And I like walked away because I was on the phone with my mom. And then a few days later, coming over to your house, I realized your mom had been seething for like 3 days because she felt like I had told her that to like spite her because they didn't take her son away from her. And I was like, I really can't do this anymore.
When we were young,
Randy
had a problem with her tone.
I had a problem with her tone.
No, you had a problem with your tone. We used to talk about this. Like, there's a way that you say certain things, and like you may not mean to say it a certain way because you're just talking. And like we're really big on tones. I think it's just the way I was raised. Like, if you say That's something so a certain way, crazy. it's received a certain way. I think
tone is so
it's subjective.
Yes. And with your mom, there was no way
that your tone could reflect.
Ever. If I said it in a very high-pitched voice, like, then it was
be like, why are you so happy about she's not having to come here?
She's
no
crazy,
more.
You know? Or if I said it like, it was, I felt like.
You have to watch how you walk, and you have to, it's a very careful way that you have to like carry yourself, which is a lot. It's a lot to
have. A lot. Yeah. And I didn't have 20-something years of practice like you did.
I did.
I had 6, and I was failing miserably. And it was really bad. It was really bad. But my epiphany was, like I said, one of them was, they are two different women, you know? Yeah. And I had to stop putting that on her to be like my mom, because that's not why I love your mom. I love your mom because she's who she is. Yeah. And, you know, I already have my mom and who she is.
There is no better Marilyn in this world
than my
Marilyn.
Took me I didn't realize that I was doing that, which was making, I think, straining the relationship even for me, because I kept expecting her to be Natra and she is not. She's not. And that's okay. That was one of my epiphanies. You?
My epiphanies, it was more so the same thing I mentioned earlier. Like, I was like, you had this expectation that you were going to get treated like someone other than how my mom treats people she love. Like, you ain't the only one getting charged 10 cents for food in the house and really got to like pay up. Like,
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing. You're not the only one getting yelled at for not washing your hands immediately before someone could ask you. Like, yeah. you didn't, it's not, that's just the rule. That's just how it was. It definitely showed me what I should be like in the future as far as like being a father and being present in my children's relationships and how I want to act when my daughter bring some random little nigga home and I got to like put the fear of God in him.
Right.
But like still be kind, kinda.
Okay.
And the same if I have a son, you know, like, yeah. like it's just, you know.
Yeah. And I realized that I would never do this to someone else's child. I'm about to be the kindest mama in the world. Like, you know, I feel like it, but in a very authentic and genuine way. Like I'm not, you know, obviously. What I mean is, I think that, and we talked about this yesterday off the mic, I think when you're younger, or when you first meet somebody, you always forget, like, for instance, having to call you before cell phones were a real thing, and on the house phone, being anxious about your sisters or your mom picking up the phone and having to give the phone to you.
And I used to try to tell you this, like, so this is back when house phones existed.
Yeah.
So only 90s babies can relate. We had 2 separate numbers for the same phone, right?
Yeah.
The last 4 digits of our number were 8744, and the phone would ring twice.
Yeah.
It'd be like ding, 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 ding. And if it was my mother, it was 0057, and it would just ring once. So if it rang twice, we knew it was for us. And we knew that. But I didn't like express that to you.
No. So every time I called, I was just anxious.
She'd be
and
worried.
I think that people forget. But now, like his sisters, I'm trying to imagine being anxious about them. And
exactly.
You know, but that happens when you build a relationship. Yeah. And I think that people forget that in the beginning, when you're meeting anybody, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of nervousness. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but, and I don't want to, I remember being in high school, not knowing shit. Being anxious all the damn time. And I just want to pay it forward when we have our kids.
Yeah.
our living babies who bring their people here to remember that.
That's true.
Even if the child ain't shit, you know, I won't tell them that in front of them, you know. I'll tell that to our children.
See, I think like, that was the difference also when, like, in meeting our mothers, I was fearless. Yeah. I had no anxiety. Like, first of all, I'm fine with meeting women, and I'm fine with talking to moms. So this just kind of worked out in my favor. Like, it was,
yeah,
there was no anxiety or anything with how I approached it. I had no expectations.
Yeah.
I was just going to, like, shoot the shit and see what happens. Because I think I'm a cool person to meet, you know?
Yeah, and me too. Shit.
Yeah.
I was fine until, but I just realized that, you know, this was a lesson for me. Like, it was just like, you know, I'm just going to be the opposite when it's my turn to be a mom and to welcome my child's whoever they bring home, even if it doesn't last, if it's not serious, because it's just something nice to do.
That's true. You mentioned, though, that you had that anxiety when you would call.
Mm-hmm.
And how you would be afraid that it might be my mom. You know, there would be times where you would specifically say to call you at a certain time so that you could avoid that. I don't know if you remember me. Like, you'd be like, call me at this time so that we could talk. I don't know if that was the reason why you did it, but that happened. Now, you know, you'd be calling my siblings and my mama answering, you'll cuss them out because you think it was my siblings.
That was a mistake.
You cussed
out
my mother.
But your mom was like, it's not Therese, it's mommy. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, mom.
Do better.
I was going off, but it was only because I was like, Therese, we've talked about this. Anyway, another epiphany we had, well, how we got past all that is me and Mikey's mom talked. We had a really
communication.
Nice, one-on-one conversation, and we went out to lunch, and it was just really nice and insightful, and it just really cleared it just helped clear the air, because I think there were things either one of us didn't realize about each other. And like I said, obviously, as y'all heard, we weren't really communicating about feelings and things. Because Mikey's mom is not that type of person.
I ain't that type of person. We'll talk about feelings. Like, now I'll do it, but
Mikey's been doing it for years.
Man, look, I've been putting stuff on the shelf for years until you. I like hiding feelings. Feelings don't need to be discussed. They just need to be felt.
I don't know, but it was nice. And I think that we really wanted to have this conversation, not just because it's Mother's Day, but because in actuality, y'all, I mean, as y'all know, we see posts like this going around all the time in articles on Essence and stuff, but mother-in-laws are tough, you know, for some people. So some people, they don't have, like, it's just bad. Like, you know, it's just bad. And the reality is, while it's not bad for us, I think in any way, now, for the past few years, in the beginning, it started off rough.
Yeah, if anybody listening to this, like, you will eventually have to meet the mother of, you know, your partner.
Or the matriarch in some way.
Yeah. Having some patience in that arena will help you.
Yeah.
It'll go a long way.
And it's not easy. Like I said, a lot of our arguments, there's a large chunk of arguments in our relationship about your mother. No, seriously.
I know.
And about our moms in general, and like how that impacted us, and that, which I think could have been avoided, you know, if we had had some sense. I don't know.
I agree.
You know, and if we had shown each other a little bit more compassion and empathy on both ends and communicated. But Mikey's mom is really great, and she's strong, and she's been through a lot. And there are reasons why we are all the way that we are.
Yeah.
And whether people divulge that or not, you know, it's not our business.
And
you know,
it took me a lot of like time to realize, like, yeah, my mother is my mother, but she's a woman, you know, she's a person first. And it's hard to, you don't come to that realization
until you're older.
Yeah. Until you got some sense, like, oh,
my mom is not just a mom.
She's a person.
Yeah.
She had experiences and stuff that like brought her here before she brought me here.
Yeah.
And it just makes you look at it differently. It gives you a different perspective. I have a different respect for my mother. I think once I hit like 19, after that, like after having conversations with her, my mother did a lot of things right.
Yeah.
My mother did so many things right. My mother, though she raised me herself, my mother never talked bad about my father. Not once. Never said an unkind word. And it helped me grow. She always highlighted the positives about my father. It was like, you know, you're just like him because of this. You're so intelligent like him. You're so smart like him. You're really, you know, you hustle like him. You think different. You think outside the box like him. Like, and those were the things that kept me going. Like, those things where I was really proud to have.
And she's also really like, I can't explain that. Like, I got really, really drunk January 2015.
Wait, why?
At the New Year's party.
Oh.
And I blacked out. You remember that?
January 2015?
It was 2015, right? We were bringing it in 2015 because we were just about to move.
Okay.
And I was at your mom's house. Like, you brought me back to your mom's house. And when I, you said when she woke up, when you woke up, she had like mentioned, oh, your dad used to take care of me like that too, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she did, I thought that she would just chew into me when she saw me. Cause y'all.
People get drunk.
No, I've never blacked out before. That was the first and last time. And I lost hours. Okay. Like, I don't remember a lot about that night. And when I woke up to leave, one shoe was in the house.
And one was in the car.
And the one, and one was in the car.
He was in a rush.
And your mom was so nice to me about it. She, I really just wanted someone to be nice to me because I felt like shit. It was so bad. And I was so embarrassed to be acting a fool in this woman's house. And she was just nice to me. Like, she's just, I think your mom always like shows, not necessarily her humanity, but she shows like the depths of her compassion. And some really on time.
And yeah, no, her moments, the moments that she has is right, like, on time. Right. Every time.
I'm like, you know, I really needed you to do exactly what you just did.
I really needed you to say exactly what you just said just now.
So thank you.
Yeah.
And I think being able to recognize those things have definitely helped our relationship. Yeah. And now I'm not jealous of the relationship you have with my mom.
I'm a little jealous of our relationship.
Who?
You and my mom.
No, you're not.
It took you less time to get to this point. Real shit.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. What? That's fine. It's okay. I still got
it
your mom.
It did not take me less time.
It took you less time to build the rapport that you have with my mom than it took me to build the rapport that I have with my mom.
That's because you're difficult.
Real shit. Actually, I would agree to that.
You're difficult.
I'm a little difficult. But if it's anyone's fault, it's my mother's.
What?
She made me. I'm difficult by birth.
You can't put that on her. You also have your father.
Yeah, it's both of them niggas. I blame all. It's just, yeah, the nurse and the Chapman in me.
So what did we learn?
No. Before, we got to also, your mom.
What about? Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
And on the flip side of that, you know, your mom nurtured in a different way the entire time. Just very patient. Very patient. And you could tell that she loved her daughter. You were her firstborn child, and she did have you when she was young. She always kept you close, and she always wanted to protect you in that way, which is why we used to be surprised sometimes that she'd like let us do certain things, like let us, like she used to let me drive her car whenever she would come pick y'all up from school, and I would ride with y'all to go hang out after school.
Not after school, during the weekend.
Oh, on the weekend.
We lived too far for you to hang out at school.
There was a couple of times where she did that drive back.
Really?
Yeah.
I do not remember that.
The first time I had Zaxby's was that time that happened. It was like a Thursday or something.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a weekend.
And y'all were like hyping it up, talking about, oh, this is the greatest thing. This is, again, 2000.
I don't know. It was a while ago.
Seven.
My kid never had Zaxby's before.
I never had Zaxby's before. And they was talking about this salad. And I'm a real nigga. And ain't no salad going to fill me up. But they just kept talking about how the salad was going to fill me up. I wasn't going to eat the whole thing. So I was like, all right, I'll try it. They come with this box and I'm eating. And I'm full, and I look up, and I only ate like a corner of it. This was back when Zax was actually used to stuff the salad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did a lot of like close family shit.
Yeah.
Early on. And it.
But she was always really big on that. I don't know why my mom is how she is. I've actually never asked her. Maybe we'll talk about that today.
We should talk about that today.
Like, why are you this way? But I think that she, but my mom was also younger, and she had a different job. And she just had different experiences as well. And I think that she was also a single mom. She was newly divorced. Like a few years in by the time we started dating. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe she just didn't have time to like make you miserable. Like maybe that was just not.
Oh, right.
I'm just like, maybe that just wasn't.
Oh, Randy.
I don't know.
You know, both of them listen to this podcast.
Right? Well, your mom knows that I love her.
That's true.
She know that I love
this
her.
This is the nature of y'all relationship.
And I like her. I think we're there. We'll find out when she I come over and the door locked. But no, I do love you, Mom.
She
and
do got a deadbolt.
She do. And our moms are just different. And but they've both been very influential in our relationships. I wouldn't have you if your mom didn't have you. And so I'm forever indebted to her. for keeping you and raising you well.
I wonder if she ever like regretted it at any point during my life. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that she absolutely has.
I think I was a good kid on up until like age 6.
Mikey.
I think I was a good kid. Maybe she was like, I'm really happy that you're my son. This entire, like.
No, I'm sure yeah. Your mama's, she loves you.
Yeah.
And
until
you just,
I turned 7.
You're just a lot. You're a lot. And I think it's a lot for you to realize you're a lot because you're such a good person.
Are we talking about me being a lot from my mother's perspective or my wife's perspective? Because
your
tone
mother.
Changed a little yeah, bit. Am mother. I a lot to my mom or am I a lot to you?
You're a lot. In general, you're okay. Our parents call us high maintenance for a reason.
And I'm middle maintenance.
No, baby.
I am middle maintenance.
You don't get to say what type of maintenance
I
you
know
are.
What type of maintenance I need. And I need middle maintenance. I'm
That's
not high
not
maintenance. I'm
Mikey.
Not high maintenance at all. You're high maintenance. I would give you that. But no, I'm middle.
This is what makes you high maintenance. This right here.
Why is your head moving?
You're high maintenance. And I think that. Yeah. You're
difficult. That it's my mom's fault?
No, I don't think it's your mom's fault. I think that you just. It's hard to hear. Because nobody wants to hear.
That's not
that
true.
I didn't say that you don't take it and like grow from it. I'm saying that it's not easy to hear. You're annoying me or you're hard or you're difficult to love.
That's
some
true.
Days. That's hard. That's what I mean. It's
yeah.
hard to hear. And I think it's especially hard for you because your intent is so good. You have really great intentions.
Every time.
And, but you know, they're not always translated to that way,
uh-uh.
but that's subjective
that's
to
right.
what people are feeling.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, thank you, Mom, for dealing with my maintenance. So what did we learn at the end of the day? What can you say you learned was one of the biggest takeaways from your mom?
My mom?
Your mom. I just added this piece to it. This wasn't in the production meeting. What did you learn from your mom throughout this relationship? What is one of the takeaways?
Our relationship together.
Yeah.
Well, because you just added it, Lord Jesus.
I know.
I learned that when you are okay with yourself, you can be good to other people.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my mom's relationship with you and me came from a lot of her work that she did on herself, you know? And I think she confronts a lot of difficult things about herself, and she is actively, she'll talk about it with you. You know, or whoever her person is for her to talk it out. So by the time she gets to you, her interactions with us reflect the work she does on herself, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so I've learned to just work on me, if that makes, well, we hear that all the time. You know, you can't change other people, fix yourself first, because in that people will, like, it will reflect in your interactions with them. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So my mom just taught me to look like, to just work on myself and to look at where I falter and what my flaws are, so that when I interact with other people, I'm not projecting that on them. You know, I'm not projecting these old traumas and things because I've been in therapy or I've acknowledged that this is a problem for me or I've, you know, so. And she's really big on like curating her space. I just saw that like phrase on the internet somewhere, but like she's
curating her. Okay.
You know, she's really big on, like, she's going to take care of herself so that she can give this energy to us and to these relationships. And so that's what I learned. And that's what I'm learning to do.
Okay.
You know, and she's consistent regardless. She's not going to change up who she is because of how someone makes her feel. She may distance herself from them, but she's going to be herself. And so that's what I've learned. How about you?
Cool. One of the bigger takeaways over in life that I got from my mom is that I am very much like my mother.
Yeah. I
am
married Marilyn.
Like my mother.
You don't understand.
You did. My mom put effort into me. She really did. But there are a lot of things I picked up subtly that I didn't even realize until I was grown.
Mm-hmm.
The same way intentions can be taken differently than you intended, it's my mom. That's the story of Marilyn.
Yeah.
Like, nothing she did with malice. It was never to hurt you. It was always to help from her perspective. You know, it was, and that's just who I am as well. And I appreciate my mom for a lot of things. The work that she put into me made me who I am today. And I'm proud of the man that I am today, even throughout with all the storms and stuff that I've been through and all the changes that I've gone through. It's largely in part of the stuff my mother put in me early. My mother's the reason why I'm a gentleman. My mother's the reason why I open car doors and hold doors open and
right. do all the like. Story about that. We had our wedding tasting. Yes. We went to our wedding tasting.
Okay.
And I don't think that I'm going to have to get Mama and Mikey on video because I don't think I'm explaining how close they are.
Right, so this goes back to Randy's.
My like, aha moments was yes. like, oh.
When Randy hit that moment where she was like, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah. Like when I realized that, like, yeah. So we went
to our food tasting?
Yeah, for our wedding venue.
In Hogansville.
Yeah. And both our moms came.
So Randy, me, and my mother drove in my car.
Yeah.
Randy's mother,
drove her down
sister,
in her car.
And cousin drove in her car.
Yes. And as soon as we parked, Mikey, I don't even know if he braked the car.
We parked. And we pulled into the spot first. And then your mom's car pulled up.
And Mikey immediately.
I think you and my mom and me were mid-conversation.
Yes. And Mikey stopped speaking.
I pulled the e-brake up, turned the car off, and I jumped out the car.
Jumps out the car to go open the door for my mom. Two cars down. And to hug and love on her. And me and Mikey's mom are still in the car. Now, that day, your mom was pissed at you for doing that.
I remember you saying something.
She was pissed. And it became a whole thing, you know, not out loud, but like a whole thing. And when we finally talked, your mom brought it up, as a way to, I don't even know why. I can't remember how we got to that conversation, but she brought it up like, you know, did you see how he hopped out the car and opened the door for your mom? And I was like, well, mom, did you notice that he didn't open the door for me? Like Mikey left us both in that car.
I really did.
And she was like, oh, like, we were both stranded and neglected. And Mikey jumped out the car and like ran down this driveway to go open the door for my mom. Nobody else. Okay.
Y'all can open your
door. No, this is what I'm saying. Like, so
But my mother rode with us. So before all of that, I hugged my mom. I loved my mom.
That's
I felt
not
like it was
what matters to her.
I know. I know. I get it. So my intention wasn't to like make my mother or my wife feel less than
and
my
because
mother-in-law.
I'm so used to this, I didn't feel any type of way. It didn't even occur to me that this was abnormal. I wasn't even like, Mikey, you're a mom. Same. It really, I had at this point been with you for 8 years. I was just like, or seven. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll open my door myself and I guess I'll help mom out the car while we wait for him to turn around and
have something to bond over.
So, sorry to cut you off, no, but I just fine. Had to interject with that story.
Good times.
But yeah, so that's like, yeah. And I think maybe there was some jealousy about your mom, about your relationship with my mom from your mom too, but which is what we could also bond over. But I think then she realized that just wasn't a thing to be jealous of because y'all are weird.
We are weird.
Y'all are really weird. And y'all have a very weird and special relationship that I think is a blessing.
It is.
I think it is.
I remember like when people talk about marriage, like I would hear about men and they complain about their mother-in-laws. Now I'm glad to say that I'll never have those stories. I have nothing but great things to say about my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Yeah. But yeah, your mom is why you are who you are. And I think that's a reflection of herself.
Yeah.
And the work she puts in and she put in to make sure y'all were okay. Cause y'all are.
We
y'all are.
Y'all are
okay.
She has really good kids.
She does.
Got
and I
one that's a doctor.
Y'all.
Big sis out there slinging drugs legally. She's a pharmacist. college graduates.
Yeah.
Or enrolled.
Malaya with her little business.
I got no criminal record.
Yeah. We are children of super moms.
We
man.
Really are.
So thank y'all.
Thank y'all. So that was
the episode.
Episode 9.
Yeah.
Dear Mama. Obviously, you know, we're not the only people in the world with mothers. So, please share some pictures of your moms.
Yeah.
Please share a story
and we'll like, yeah.
of some trial or tribulation that you may have gone through with your partner's mother or your mother.
Yeah.
Everybody got them. Mother's Day is the day for highlighting how great your mom is. But you know, sometimes there's a clash and we want to hear that too.
Yeah.
So tag us in that. #BlackMillennialMarriage
Podcast. episode 9, if you remember.
If you want to type all that.
And I mean two separate hats. You know what? Fight or flight, Mikey.
Fight or flight. So today's fight or flight is going to be a little bit different. Because I'm not prepared today to make you feel bad about anything.
What?
I'm not prepared today to make you feel bad about anything. It's I do okay. have a complaint, though. I have one complaint. It is Mother's Day.
Okay.
And for some strange reason, you thought or have been making comments about the fact that you don't feel like you are a mother.
That's not what I mean.
Okay. That may not be your intention, but the impact has been.
I'm sorry.
No, no, no. You have nothing to apologize for.
Okay.
I'm apologizing to you. That's what this fight or flight is about.
Why?
Because I feel like I haven't done enough this year, or today specifically, to make you feel like you are appreciated for being a mother.
Mike.
I have pictures in my camera of you and your baby bump. I have pictures. I do. There's proof that this happened. No.
I was showing.
Okay. Again, this is what I'm talking about. You were a mom.
Yes.
You are a mom.
Thank you.
We just didn't have a lot of time with our child. Thanks. So I'm fighting you about talking about yourself like you didn't go through what we went through when that happened.
I just wasn't sure if, you know, I don't know. It's like you have to like have a certain amount of time first. I've never done this before. Yeah. So I wasn't sure if it was going to be a thing.
Man, look, mothers are mothers. If you have a great relationship with your child or a strained one, if your child is alive or if your child is gone, you're a mother. It happens.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's my fight or flight.
Babe, that is so not the rule.
I know, but you'll be all right. We can fight about that tomorrow. Next week, it's on you.
Now I got to do a nice fight or flight.
No, you don't. Mine wasn't nice.
We still had a fight or flight for our miscarriage episode.
I don't remember that.
Yes, you do.
I'll go back and listen. And you should, too. moving on to our final segment, PDA. This is a special edition of Public Display of Affection because we are aiming these at
our mamas.
At mamas.
Because we love y'all. And y'all listen. And my mom probably won't listen for another 2-4 weeks.
My mom will probably listen in a couple of hours.
Because she just finished school. And so she still has to catch up. But she'll hear this and she'll love it. So, Mama, I really love you, as you know. And you have just been such a light. Just, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed by the woman you are. I don't know. I just am. You are really great. And you really prioritize your relationship with your kids. You make us feel safe. And you helped us be responsible and independent. And you did good, Mom. And I know that you got a lot of slack, obviously, in the early 90s as a teenager with kids and people made you feel horrible. But you have the best kids in the world. And I would not want anyone else to be my mom. And I'm happy you had us when you did, though I know you would do it differently. But I think that I am especially blessed because you are my mom and you are my mom when you were my mom, when you became my mom. And I'm proud of you. You're doing it, Mom. You really are proving everybody wrong. You lost friends when you were in high school because nobody wanted people to be friends with teenage mom because they think that's shit. Contagious. And I think that's full of shit. But when we make it, Mama, and we out here with millions of dollars buying you your house in Hawaii.
Talk your shit.
Oh, all them friends from high school and their parents wanted something. I'm going to be like, fuck you.
That's right.
I love you.
That's where I would insert gunshots.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Your turn.
That was a good one. All right. I don't know how I'm going to follow up with that one. I will start by saying thank you, Ma.
Yes.
Thank you very much for everything that you have ever done, for all of the struggles you had to go through. I remember you sharing stories about what it was like when you moved into your first apartment, when you got your first place by yourself in Oak Forest, and how run down it was and how you was just happy to have something that was your own. You did your absolute best, and I will always be appreciative of all that you have ever done for us. I remember those times where it was the middle of the night and I'm having asthma attacks, damn near dying, and you had to take me to Eggleston and rub my back while I'm on this machine dying. You know, like, you've done a lot, and I ain't gonna get too sappy because I'm just gonna love on you today when I come see you.
Yeah.
But while Randy expressed that she's proud of her mother, and I too am proud of my mother, I am more proud to be able to call myself your son. I'm just thankful. Please don't think that anything that you've ever done for me or my sisters goes unnoticed. I'm honestly just trying to get to this point right now, Ma, where I can make something of myself and make you proud. I want to do stuff for you before I no longer have you. I'm trying to get you that house, Ma. That's what I'm out here working on. I'm trying to get you to stop working. I want to see you lounge.
Yeah.
I want to see you relax.
Or travel.
You work so hard, and I'm over that shit.
Yeah.
I want you to be over it, too. I want so many things for you, and I'm very, very thankful that I was blessed with the position of being your child. Number two out your vagina, number one in your heart. I love you, Mama.
You're an idiot.
What?
A sweet one, but an idiot. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
All right, y'all. Be sure to check out our website, blackmillennialmarriage.com. And we are now on, we are now available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. When you're on the website, subscribe to our newsletter. Move around, check around. We work really hard on it. When I say we, I mean I.
First of all, I work very hard on those newsletters.
Mike, do you even know what they look like?
I do. They look really nice.
You ain't never looked at a newsletter.
I have seen the first one.
Mike, y'all, my own husband don't look at the newsletter.
Look, man, y'all nigga gonna be checking this email. Plus, I didn't win the raffle, so.
Yeah. So we'll have subscriber giveaways at the end of this month. So make sure you subscribe and we'll announce that at the end of the May. Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are Black Millennial Marriage. On Facebook, we're Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. And on Twitter, we are Black Mill Mare Pod. I'm really trying to get Mikey out there, y'all. He's supposed to be running the Twitter. And, you know, we're working on it.
Hey, man, I'm an educator, and it'd be hard to talk.
Educators be sometimes on Twitter now.
They do, but that's because they just complain about their kids. Or they job, or they just ready to be done with school.
No, they tweet like normal people.
And they do tweet like human beings. That is true. I'm one of those human beings that don't like talking. I'm not coming for educators. I'm a part of that.
I know.
You don't know the life we live.
What?
I'm joking.
I was just in it last year.
Last year. Times have changed.
No, it ain't.
Anyway, I'm trying to be more active as well. Please ask me questions. Ask and I'll answer.
Well, no, not just there's questions.
Though, I'm just saying in general.
Okay, that's fair. But Mikey's running the
story last week. Go check that.
He did. It was funny.
Thank y'all again for listening.
Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace. If you dig in what I'm saying, we could go deeper. I dig it. You dig it. I dig it. What good soil? Yo, I hope you love it. I love it. I got no upper, but none above it. I focus on what the fuck.